Hello.
Hello. Mr. President?
Yes. How are you?
Fine. Several things. The cabinet met last night with Dean Rusk for dinner, you know, and we had a long meeting for 3.5 hours. Everybody's there except Boyd and Weaver. Dean Rusk is just emotionally committed to do everything he can. It's really a fine thing to see. I think the real issues that were debated is all revolved around what can be done to put Vietnam in the most favorable position. I think we really wasted a lot of time on that. Larry and Bob McNamara tried to bring more organizational content to the meeting, but actually it tended to be just a protracted discussion. We will meet again in about 2 weeks. I think the most constructive thoughts were that we have got to have a solid program for the future that we can get out to the public as a thing of promise, a thing to look for and hope for and work for, rather than rely just on the program that's been done. But that was a very helpful meeting. It made everybody think, and it brought everybody together and with expressions of loyalty and greater effort. On October 21, the organizers are just having a very difficult time. New York is their great source of people. They had talked about the first 2,500 buses. Then they couldn't get those. They were offered 1,000. They cut that down to 250 because they were unable to obtain any indication that they could use more than 250. They cut that to 225 yesterday. In fact, they've only put up money for 35 buses as of this time. Similar problems are being experienced around the country. The plane that had been chartered in Detroit has been canceled, things like that. So as of right now, unless there are developments, it looks like the size of the affair will be considerably less than we were fearing a week ago. For over a year, I've been negotiating with Spencer Holland about a judgeship in the Northern District. There's a fellow named Paul Shelley, who was his administrative assistant, and who the bar last year and again this year has found not qualified on the basis of inadequate legal experience and no trial experience. Other than that, Shelley is a very fine person and a rather prominent, experienced person. He was administrative assistant to Holland for about 6 or 7 years. He served in Holland's cabinet when Holland was governor. He was a racing commissioner. He has been primarily a political lawyer with lobbyist experience, but he's probably spent more than half of his time on family estate business matters. It would be the first appointment of a not qualified ABA evaluation since the Massachusetts judge, almost, well, really 2 years ago now. In fact, it has been more than 2 years ago.
Was he not qualified?
He was found not qualified by the bar, too. And of course, there was a big fight on it. Since then, you've nominated more judges than any year in history. Last year, nominated almost 40 this year. Two-thirds of them have been exceptionally well-qualified or well-qualified, and that fact has been distributed by the American Bar Association to all of its membership 2 or 3 times. And the press doesn't have much interest, but they've carried it some. This would break the line. During the last 2 years, I don't have a list. I wouldn't want a list, but I would say that I have talked to senators and congressmen. A couple of dozen people that they really wanted that were not qualified. We have them up all the time. I've talked two or three out within the last several weeks, two from California. They're always very traumatic. I mean, you're turning people down. You turn them down because people they're recommending are not qualified. A lot of these people that are turned down have been good friends. We've got some up right now. I've got one with Phil Hart. We'll have others. If we go with Senator Holland, I think first the numbers that we've turned down will be very disappointed that we turned them down on this basis and then went with Holland. Second, it'll make it very difficult in the future, and next year will be an awfully rough year anyway. I think third, that to go with this fellow at this time, he was an administrative assistant to the senator, and the senator is very close to him, very fond of him. Sometimes talks of him as almost a younger brother, and sometimes it's almost like a son. He and his fellow's father very close. But I think we go with him in the context of the Campbellman thing and other things. It'll just be harmful. There'll be some harm, probably, in northern Florida. If we don't go, I think there'll be greater harm across the country. The FBI indicates that two out of 17 lawyers interviewed flatly opposed because he had no experience. Five flatly favored. The rest were on the fence saying he's a fine guy, but he doesn't have much experience, but we're not going to oppose and we're not going to recommend. The same proportion holds pretty much true through judges and other people interviewed. But there's a substantial group that just say the man's got no business being a judge. He's a fine person, and in the area of his experience, whatever you do, it'd be fine. But to be a judge, you ought to have a considerable legal experience and considerable trial experience. Just like to be a surgeon, you ought to have operated on somebody before you just start out. Senator Holland has been holding him off, and I'd hope to talk him out of it, but he will insist on seeing you. He is insisting on seeing you, and I think the sooner the better. Sorry I've been unable to hold him off. At one time I talked him out of it, but then this fellow, Shelley, insisted on it kind of as a point of honor, and Holland said, well, I'll just have to stick by him. He'll, of course, make a very persuasive case. I talked to George. George says that, of course, it's Holland has always been a party regular, and when you campaign in Florida, he'll appear with you, but said he's not going to work for you, and he's not going to really support you. He'll vote for your programs when he feels like it. Otherwise, he won't. He said this, and he's absolutely right, that if we're going to turn him down, which I would recommend very strongly, that we just ought to make it very clear at the beginning, because if he sees an opening, he'll just keep working on it. Use whatever's up, appropriations bills or whatever might be up to try and wedge it in. He's an exceptionally tenacious sort of fellow. All the others I've dealt with have just fallen to the line that, my God, you just can't impose something like this on the president. Now he's got all of these tremendous problems, and it's just too much to ask. But he says, I just know Paul Shelley as well as I know anybody. He's the finest man.
Why didn't he get the bar to clear him then?
Couldn't do it. That's one of the things we've been piddling with. He'll say that the Florida bar clears him. The Florida bar recommends him. But the Florida bar, just a handful of people. Actually, the present president of the Florida bar opposes. I intimate that to Holland, but Holland's got a big law firm down there, and he has used pressure on everybody that he could, and he's reached a lot of people, but he hadn't reached this guy. There's one federal judge out of the three that think he would be unfortunate. There's some other judges in the area that think he would be unfortunate. But Holland and Smathers would really prefer, Smathers will stand by Holland. Of course, he won't be vociferous about it, but he would actually have preferred somebody from over at Pensacola. This fellow's from Tallahassee. I'm leaving for Chicago this afternoon for an organized crime meeting and to lead the Columbus Day Parade out there tomorrow, and I won't be back till tomorrow evening. I could, if you wanted me in the meeting, and I rather think I should be there, I think I ought to take the brunt. If you don't do it, which I hope you'll see fit not to, I would say what shall I do is say, especially I just love to do it and I'd do anything for you, but I've got my attorney general here and I've just got to rely on him for things like this, and he just says I cannot do it, should not do it. Dump it on me.
All right. Well, this Woodley gets back, we'll see.
You want to wait till I get back, you say?
Yeah.
Can we set, shall I set an appointment Friday?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't remember what I got Friday, but if Marvin got cleared.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry about that. Now, Senator Easton will be calling to see you.
Yeah, I told him that I'd see him any time. Just bring him on in.
Good. Well, he was out of town until yesterday, and I hit him up yesterday, and he'll be coming. We're just having hell on our legislation. They're just being as obstructionist as they can, and they're adding everything under the sun onto it. Crime bill yesterday, they added McClellan's wiretap bill. They added Irvin's really constitutional amendment on the admissibility of confessions. They added a slap at the Supreme Court saying it can't review cases where the state court of highest resort is last resort is ruled on admissibility of confessions. Just all that kind of stuff. They did not vote yesterday on block grant. And they did not vote on applicability of Title VI. They know they'll lose on that, and they're holding off on block grant for further maneuvering. I think it'd really be helpful for you to discuss the politics of that with Eastland. I come very reluctantly, but as a matter of political judgment, to the view that if we can carry the issue of the failure of Congress to act and go forward next session with safe streets again, that we'll be in a lot better political posture than to come out, we just talked about several months anyway, perhaps, and to come out this session with a block grant program, which takes takes all the play away from the federal government. We just the man at the soup ladle, and puts the governors in the limelight and leaves us with out the really major part of a crime package that would be so attractive for next year.
What makes you think we'll be in a better position next year?
Well, at least next year we can force the issue, and we can be—we will have that going forward as our program that we had fought for it all last year. We're fighting for it all this year. And if we don't, if we get it this year and get a weak one, then we go forward next year without the really major element in our program. What we'll have to put together is just odds and ends and things. We'll have trouble on our appropriation. You had said we would seek $300 million. That's a tremendous amount of money. If we don't seek $300 million, then we're cutting back on our crime program. If we do seek $300 million for the governors, why, God help us, I don't know what they'll do or how they'll administer it, but it'll sure be a mess. So I'd say that to go into the year with the issue and with the program still being fought for would probably be the best political posture to be in. And then there are so many people up there that just think that the Congress is going to, you know, cut and scratch everything it can this year anyway.
I thought that there was kind of mean situation on us on the subversive board. What have you done about that? Nothing? Did you see the statements that Tidings made and so far?
Was that in the record yesterday?
No, this morning.
No, I haven't seen it.
They're voting. They got 2 hours on it. And he said that the Attorney General hadn't had any hearing, and Proxmire made a lot of raising a lot of hell. Dirksen got up and played hell, raised said, I said, well, he knew the administration wanted it, the president wanted it, the president talked to him about it, as he was just, as he was.